I have been meaning to ask you about your affinity for Ipswich. It's
Yeah.
unusual, but
Yeah.
very welcome.
Hello and welcome to the Super Bayern Podcast. After returning from international break, Bayern Munich suffered yet another disappointing result, drawing 2-2 against Augsburg in the all-Bavarian matchup. Thomas Müller still didn't start, Niklas Süle left injured, and Serge Gnabry's excellence simply wasn't enough to rescue Bayern's lackluster performance. I'm here to talk about that game with my friends Garrett Kerber.
Hello, hello.
Tim Richards.
Hello there.
And back this week, Sebastian Zimmermann.
Hi, nice to be back.
Yeah, it's nice to have you back, although our topic for this week really isn't the most exciting or the most, I guess, positive, we should say. So Bayern drew yesterday 2-2 with Augsburg, although it does really feel like a loss based on how the match went. Goals conceded in the first minute and the 91st minute, so the game started off really disappointing and just ended really, really disappointing, even though Bayern did have some moments of magic from Serge Gnabry there in the middle. We'll just go ahead and start with the biggest talking point, something that we've been talking about seems like all season, and that's Bayern's wasted chances. The Bavarians had 24 shots on goal to Augsburg's 9, and yet the game still ended 2-2. What was going on there, Tim? Was the failure to put away chances, you know, were these chances ones that should have been put away? What was wrong with Bayern's offense?
Sorry, I'm like in the middle of drinking a beer, which kind of like is a fantastic example of what's been going on this weekend. This isn't a problem that's, you know, exclusive to Kovac. I think Bayern have, for as long as I can remember, at least for like the last, it's like 5 or 6 years, like Bayern have always been very wasteful, like whether it's in shots taken compared to goals, or, you know, percentage of possession compared to shots taken compared to goals. There's always been, it's really just a case of Bayern have one attacking outlet. Well, I guess they have like Serge Gnabry as well. It's honestly great to see him kind of just effortlessly do what it is that he wants to do. But if Lewandowski's having like a bit of a duff day, that's it. Like that's kind of it. Bayern seem to be without other options. Like, you know, maybe Coutinho is going to have a shot, maybe Kimmich is going to have a shot, maybe. I think Bayern's biggest problem is that at the moment their goals come from one to maximum two people per game, and it's really frustrating, because I think if you look back at, if you compare like Bayern's glory side when it had, you know, let's put Lewandowski in that treble winning team, just hypothetically. I know Sebastian's probably furious at even that, like the mere suggestion of that. But if we have like our striker of today compared with and working with the two wingers of Ribery and Robin, that is a team that is going to score a lot of goals, because Robin worked towards goal, Ribery less so, but was always capable of scoring. I just don't think Bayern have the attacking outlets that they used to, and yeah, it's really quite irritating that other teams are being far more efficient with their chances. Like, okay, Bayern are always going to sacrifice chances to teams because they have a tendency to fall asleep for, you know, at least 2 minutes per game. This case, it was right at the beginning and right at the end. Bayern are always going to give up chances, but the fact that they're just not taking them and people aren't willing to take a shot, it kind of makes you wonder why you sold somebody like Renato Sanchez, because this was a guy that was determined to succeed and determined to make a difference. It's infuriating, but not something completely new.
It's interesting, Tim, that the first thing that you said was that it's not something unique to Niko Kovac. If you have been on Twitter since the game ended yesterday, and I'm sure Facebook, wherever, any social media or anything, Niko Kovac is not exactly a popular man right now among at least a good handful of vocal Bayern Munich fans. obviously he can't go on the pitch and make the players put the chances away. So I would agree there that you're right that, you know, it's not totally on him. But Sebastian, do you think a bit more of the result from yesterday does fall on Niko Kovac's shoulders?
Yeah, I think in part we can blame him. I would not say he's the number one person, I guess, I would blame. But yeah, some of the blame certainly has to be directed at Niko Kovac, I think. I'm thinking here especially about substitutions. I would have brought someone who we can be sure he's going to try to score a bit sooner. I would have enjoyed that. I did not quite get why we didn't see any changes there. I guess this is an interesting tendency we see, we have been seeing throughout this season. I really wonder what it would look like if you would just, edit these games so that you can tell what the scoreline was in the end. Just cut out the goals, cut out the fan reactions, and so on. I would really be interested to see if you could, from the other situations, except just the goals in themselves. I would really be curious if you could really tell a difference between a game like this and the Tottenham game, for example. How big would these differences really look if you just basically cut out the goals and cut out the hints as to how this game is going in terms of scoring? I think that would be really interesting, because I think in most games, as you pointed out, there is this tendency to not convert enough of our chances. That's true, but I think that also has to do with quality of chances, I guess, and that's why I started to talk about substitutions there. I think Thomas Müller, for example, gives us more high quality chances, I guess. I mean, probably this is not the ideal moment to make this argument. I can see that, because obviously Thomas Müller wasted two huge chances, I think. But anyway, I think we really need to look at the quality of chances there. And I think we need to look at players who create these 100% kind of chances, these huge opportunities. And I think that's what we really should focus on here. I think that's what I think is at the core of this, not so much wasting chances in itself.
Yeah, I think I totally agree in terms of quality of chances, because the thing is even if you look at, 24 shots on in the match for Bayern, and only nine were on target. I don't know what a normal number is for shots on target, but it just seems like every single week Bayern are really have a lot. They get a lot of shots off, but not that many are actually on target. And in the past, sometimes you can look at it and be like, oh, well, you know, seven or eight were blocked. So, you know, maybe those would have been on target. Who knows? But even this week, it was only four that were blocked. And so I totally understand the criticism of Kovac in terms of, like, you should have brought Müller on sooner or somebody on sooner, and things of that nature. But I think it's hard to really be like, well, yeah, this is another case of, if we would have had a better coach, we would have won this match. You were winning up until stoppage time, 2-1 against the worst defense in the Bundesliga, and one of the lower scoring teams in the Bundesliga, and you end up dropping points in 3 minutes of stoppage time. Like, this team should be good enough to be able to stop Augsburg from scoring with 3 minutes left. To me, there's no excuse from a player's perspective. I don't know how you can look at those final 3 minutes and be like, well, if Kovac had done XYZ, they would have won. Well, okay, you can look back further, but the fact of the matter is that you're still 3 minutes away from getting out of Augsburg with a less than convincing but still a win. And that, to me, is what is so – it's such a frustrating thing for me, because I wish I could be like, oh yeah, this is totally on Kovac, because then you would have some sort of idea of like how you're actually going to fix the problem. But what do you do? I mean, you bring on Thomas Muller, he has some two really good chances, so maybe you look at that and say, well, he should have come on, you know, with 15 minutes left rather than, you know, seven or whatever it was. Or even further, you can say he should have started, things of that nature. And I would agree with you, but at the same time, it still comes down to in real life, they were winning. The Bayern were winning. Bayern had that game in the bag and they let it go. And that to me speaks to, just the way that the defense, just has these momentary lapses, and I don't know if they lull themselves to sleep with how much possession that they get. I mean, in the second half, you had 80% of the possession. You had 14 total shots, 6 corner kicks, and you had 3 big chances that all of them were missed. 9 shots inside the box, and you can't put away another goal. It's just really frustrating, and probably more frustrating than just dropping the points to a bad team is how do you fix that? That seems like that's something that's between the ears of this defense and of these players, and that's what I keep coming back to with consistency in my own head. I don't think I actually say that out loud on the podcast, but I do think that, like, it's just something's not right in terms of their mental ability to hunker down and not let these momentary lapses happen, especially at the beginning of the game, the end of the game.
Yeah, and it's like, it's not just the defense, kind of like you were hitting at. I mean, the offense has them as well. Sebastian, you brought up the comparison between a match like yesterday's and a match like the Tottenham game. Bayern actually had a higher expected goals yesterday against Augsburg than they did against Tottenham. So it's really just that shows it's a major difference in finishing. And so if you look at the Tottenham match, that was pretty much Serge Gnabry's game. His kind of boost into the spotlight for the season, something that we all saw coming. And, you know, yesterday, again, he was the guy putting away his chances, making things happen. Whereas, so I'm just looking at understat right now, Kingsley Coman had a 0.63 expected goal chance with his right foot to give Bayern another goal. To kind of put that in perspective, penalties are like 0.75 chance expected goal. So you could hardly ask for a better chance for Coman there. Felipe Coutinho had a 0.48 expected chance, you know, to put away a goal with his left foot. Thiago had back-to-back shots that were 0.51 expected goals, you know, to put it in the back of the net. So several players are wasting chances. It's not like we're failing to make things happen. We're just failing to put the ball in the back of the net at the last second. Everyone except for Serge Gnabry is far less clinical than they should be. Even Robert Lewandowski wastes far more chances than he puts away.
That's fine if you have one guy doing that.
Yeah,
but if you have one guy putting, mm-hmm. but it's every single player is putting several shots over and they're right straight at the keeper.
And but so if that's the case, if it's a team-wide issue, and Tim, I'm gonna come to you because I feel like you can give the best defense for this. But if it's a team-wide issue, how do you look at that and say, okay, it's not a coaching problem?
I'll obviously try and be as objective and impartial as I can. I'll fail, but I'll try. I think you just need to see last season and how wasteful you were and how. Serge Gnabry's goal yesterday was a quintessential Iron Robin goal. I think he was running down the right, he cut inside on his weak foot, which is even better, and he hammered it in. And it was perfect. Okay, so in that sense, the fact that he's managed to put up really, really good numbers last season and the season before in other clubs, I think that kind of shows that he can be that goal outlet. I think that's absolutely perfect. I think he's exactly what Bayern have needed. I think a lot of people, including myself, have been really surprised by how he's done. I think on the other hand, the fact that Kingsley Coman hasn't progressed since he was playing under Guardiola. Okay, there was that month where Jupp Heynckes said, lift your head up when you make a pass, and then all of a sudden he became good again. Like, surely there has to be more than that. This is something that obviously the coach needs to recognise. And like, just if you look at the press conference that he gives, Niko Kovac is not satisfied with this. Nobody's going to be satisfied with this. So okay, he says, yeah, we played well. I think everybody's just like, oh, so he's satisfied with a draw. There's a difference between being satisfied with a draw and being satisfied with how you play. Because, yeah, like we had 24, like I made the notes from SofaScore here. So we had 24 shots, we had 79% possession, we put together 766 passes, we got 16 shots in the box. The way that you play up until the final shot you take before you get a goal is so crucial. It's like over 99% of what you do. And if you can be satisfied with that, fantastic. Like that's, you know, oh, he's got no attacking concept. That's absolute rubbish, because he quite clearly has got an idea of how to make chances. He even said yesterday, we were creating so many chances, but something's got to give here. I think that the solution is obviously you have to get these players better and more comfortable in front of goal. Because, okay, like every keeper's going to have an absolute blinder when they play against Bayern. I think that's a given at this point. And like nobody's surprised when this guy yesterday, who everybody was saying he is their weakest link, was terrible for about 70 minutes and then became the best keeper in the world. It's so frustrating, but you know, you just get used to it. The coach has to do something to get the players that aren't performing well in front of goal. He has to get them to that level. So Coutinho had a shot that was saved, that was a really great save. Any other keeper, maybe it would be different. Coman had a couple of chances. When he got to the byline, he got corners. Fantastic. Thomas Müller, low on confidence, put the shot wide. Leon Goretzka, it was 3-1, and Goretzka just rolls the ball very gently across the penalty area and the defender intercepts it. That is something that the coach needs to sort out. And I think he's going to be well aware of it. But if he can get everything up to that last point, not necessarily perfect, but to a stage where it is very, very good, which I think he has done. Like, I will never get my head around this whole idea of there's no attacking concept. It's just hero ball, like 24/7. It's like, you can't just wing it for 90 minutes, week in, week out. Like, you can't just wing it and somehow, like, by a stroke of luck, win 7-2 against Tottenham. Okay, they kind of imploded, but you can't just get away with it. There's clearly something there that is working up to the final minute, and that should be Kovac's homework for the weekend.
I think you're right to point out that I think the real thing is going to come when it is, what lineup does he start putting out? What players is he taking out? And which ones is he putting in? Because you look at who the top scorers are on this team. Robert Lewandowski is obviously number one. He's got 12 goals in the Bundesliga. But number two, you have Serge Gnabry and Felipe Coutinho with 2 goals. And then Ivan Perisic with 2 in 4 matches. So maybe you look at playing Perisic more and say, hey, if he's going to finish his chances, we'll play him. And, you know, and get players a little bit more focused in that final little section of the pitch, because, it just seems like that's about all you can do at this point, is who are the players that are going to have that killer instinct that really, it's not just going to be every few games, all of a sudden they're going to score a goal. It's if they get a chance, they're putting that away, you know, 60-70% of the time. That's what I hope to see out of Kovac's lineups. And you see players that you're not just rolling them out there and saying, well, hope somebody else scores if Lewandowski's not doing it. I want to see guys that can do it and that are being rewarded for it.
Well, Garrett, that's a topic I was wanting to get to later. But since you've already brought it up, we'll just go ahead and dive straight into that now, because we can always return back to the game from yesterday. But Sebastian, I'll just straight up ask the question Garrett's been talking about. You know, who has earned a spot on the bench based on their, not just yesterday, but based on, you know, the recent performances over the past few weeks? Like, who, not necessarily who deserves a spot in the starting 11, who deserves to lose their spot in the starting 11 to be replaced by guys that really just need a chance? And I do kind of have an idea of at least one person you may be going towards, but who are those players, or who is that player for you, Sebastian?
Yeah, I guess I would have wanted to say something on that anyway. I guess it's lineups is probably the one thing most people can agree that Kovač is not doing the greatest job at.
Mm-hmm.
I think we pretty much agree that this is kind of a problematic part of his time as a head coach. Yeah, I think there are some people I would rather give some minutes on the bench next time. One of them is not even going to be on the bench, obviously. Zule hasn't been great. I think we have talked about that. He definitely was a part of what was going wrong with the defense on the weekend. So I guess he's definitely a candidate there. Another candidate is Koeman. You already pointed that out. I think it was so clear to see that Koeman is not playing on the level that Gnabry and Coutinho are playing at the moment. I mean, Gnabry was way better than Coutinho, but yeah, Coutinho and Gnabry, I think they become kind of a perfect match up there. I think that's really only going to get better and better, and it's already on a very good level. And Koeman, yeah, it's just not working as well. Yeah, he's not playing as well with those other two. He's just kind of, a foreign object in there. It's just not clicking. It's just not working as well as we would like. So I would definitely take him off. I think, I guess the more interesting question is who you put on for him, because Perisic and Müller are definitely two great options there. And yeah, I guess if I want to name a third player, I guess that's probably Thiago. I guess you could argue that Javi Martinez hasn't been brilliant, but yeah, I think we know that Javi Martinez can be brilliant in the right combination, and I'm not so sure if Thiago can in this system. So yeah, I guess Thiago is the other guy I might put on the bench next time.
I think you're spot on with each of the players that you brought up, especially Kingsley Coman. I think you're exactly right. If you've watched any of Bayern over the last few weeks, it really just seems like he's been left behind by the rest of the attack. You know, Serge Gnabry, Felipe Coutinho, and Robert Lewandowski especially, they're all playing at a higher level. And it's disappointing that whenever he gets the ball, I'm almost just like, okay, you know, don't mess up, or, you know, give the ball to someone else. Let someone else make something happen. So I agree, it's time for him to take a seat on the bench. You know, I've been wanting to see Müller, Coutinho, and Gnabry all together for a while, so I'd really like to see that going forward, at least tested. We'll talk about Niklas Süle and the impact that his injury will have on the squad here in a second. But first, I wanted to address Thiago and kind of that midfield trio of him, Coutinho, and Javi Martinez that we saw yesterday. Now, Tim, I know that you weren't impressed at all by Thiago yesterday. Do you think that's partially because of the system? You think that maybe he doesn't work with Martinez? Do you think it's still more of his personal issue? And would you agree with Sebastian? Maybe, you know, again, it's time for him to take more time off the pitch, more time, you know, on the bench, thinking about how he can improve and get better in this side.
I think Thiago and Martinez on paper should be our best midfield pairing. You've got somebody, because like Thiago puts in a defensive shift. Like he's not afraid of doing the dirty work. He's just not as physically imposing as some of our other midfielders, which is why he struggles so much playing as a lone number six. I think that partnership should be fantastic, because you've got the ability of somebody in the agility to get forward, a lot of flair, a lot of skill. Like, he's not slow either. And then you combine that with the physicality, determination, and just willingness to have a fight with literally anybody in Javi Martinez. I think that should be our best midfield pairing. It's not. Spoiler alert, it's really not. Thiago should have... The best thing in my mind that Kovac has done this season is he dropped Thiago after a bad game. And that kind of really showed, past tense, that this is a guy that isn't afraid to say, okay, you're not doing well enough, sit down for a bit. Problem is that he benched him for 45 minutes. When he came back, so in the second half of the Spurs game, Thiago was fantastic. Like, he was doing exactly what it is that we know that he's capable of, and he was doing it at his best. Then that was it. He's kind of gone back to his kind of like lackluster, kind of careless way. And it's a big shame because Bayern's, I think it was the equaliser, came from a long pass from Javi Martinez, of all people. And if you're going to say, okay, it came from one of the players playing in that double pivot, can you guess which one it is? Nobody would suggest Javi Martinez. So the fact that he's, you know, kind of like pulling in most of the playmaking ability of that group, of that pairing, kind of says a lot about just how ineffective Thiago is. I think he is the sort of player that should be told, okay, like, we'll put you in for the next, for like the last 30 minutes, because over 90 minutes, he's just not having that impact. Like, I always talk about how you can tell what sort of game he's going to have in the first 5 minutes. And, well, the fact that Bayern conceded within the first 30 seconds kind of says a lot about yesterday. But specifically, Thiago gave the ball away a couple of times and led to Augsburg chances. I really don't know, because it's one of those things where you look at it and you're thinking, yes, this works. But then when it comes to the actual execution of it, just something doesn't quite sit right there. And I don't know why. I don't know what it is about it, but it just doesn't quite tick for me.
Yeah, it's definitely strange, because like you said, on paper, Thiago and Martinez should be our best midfield pairing. And not only that, under Jupp Heynckes, Martinez and Thiago was a phenomenal midfield pairing. You would have put those two out against any midfield that we face. So it's definitely confusing to see what's going on there. Now, with Niklas Süle injured, there's a chance Javi Martinez might have to fill in at center back at times, meaning we may not even get to see that. But Garrett, I want to talk about that injury, because Süle has damaged his ACL. He's definitely out for months. This could turn into a Tolisso situation where we don't even see him for the rest of the season, which, you know, could be terrible. But how do you think our defense is going to cope with this? Do you think maybe this is time that we finally see Lars Lucas Mai make the jump to the first team, like we've kind of been asking for some time now? Do you think it means Javi Martinez makes a more permanent shift to center back? Maybe Kimmich goes permanently back to right back to let Pavard play in central defense. What do you think this means for the squad?
I think that you're probably going to see a lot more Boateng. You're going to see more Pavard and Lucas Hernandez in the center at center back. And so thank goodness Alaba seems to be fit enough to play a good long while. I think that means that Kimmich's going to go back to right back, because I think that you need to keep Pavard available for the center back role, whether that's him starting or him coming off the bench, you know, in place of Boateng. I just think that now that has to be done. I don't know. I mean, if you leave him out there, then you are talking about your third center back being Lars Lucas Mai or Javi Martinez, and I don't think that that's ideal. So I think that it's a big blow because of the depth or lack thereof that Bayern has in the squad. It's not as big a blow as it would have been last year. I'll put it that way. Süle has not been as good this year as he was last year. I think we've all agreed on that, and I think that it'll be a big loss, but we probably won't see a major difference on the pitch, I guess is how I would say it.
Interesting. Sebastian, in the past couple of weeks and months, we've talked about Joshua Kimmich and his move to midfield and how Bayern's best performances this season have pretty much all come with Kimmich playing in midfield, and that we may be in too deep with that. With Süle gone, would you prefer to see Kimmich move back to right back and just shift Pavard into central defense? Or would you rather see Pavard stay out wide at right back, Javier Martinez move back to central defense if needed, and then Kimmich stay in midfield?
Oh, well, I guess I'm really torn on this. First, I think I want to mention that I was quite surprised that Kimmich played right back on the weekend. I didn't really see that coming. I expected maybe Boateng and then Pavard on the right and whatever. So it's interesting that even when Süle was perfectly able to play, we would already have gone back to Kimmich at right back. I guess on the one hand, I'm one of the strongest proponents of Kimmich in midfield. On the other hand, I'm one of the strongest proponents of Javi Martinez on the six here. So you can see where you can only have one of those things, I guess, at least at the moment. I mean, you technically could find a different solution, but I'm not comfortable enough with any of those possibilities. So for now, I actually prefer Javi Martinez on the six and Kimmich at right back, I suppose. And yeah, Pavard at center back. I think I want to see more of this. I think I really want to give him a proper chance to show what he can do at center back, because he hasn't really gotten sufficient time at that position. Definitely not continuously. So I really want to give him a fair chance there. But yeah, mentioning Lars Lucas Meyer, I think I really hope this means Lars Lucas Meyer is going to get some minutes. He has just signed a new contract with a lot of very positive words from, I think it was Hasan Salihamidzic, I'm not perfectly sure. So I really hope that means we're going to see at least some of him at center back. That would be interesting, but I'm not confident enough to say, okay, let's do this like 50% of the time going forward, of course.
I think you're spot on about Lars Lucas Meyer. With our coach being Niko Kovac, who does not have the best record of integrating youth into the starting 11, Tim, how likely do you think it is that we get to see Lars Lucas Meyer, maybe not immediately, but in the coming months? And then on top of that, how big of a disappointment would it be to not see him integrated into the starting lineup?
I can envisage seeing him later on in the season. I couldn't imagine it before Christmas. Although now that Sula's injured, yeah, the odds are looking slightly more in his favour. I remember his debut and Frank Avina's and Meriton Shabani, which came instantly against Niko Kovac of all players. And so that happened like a couple of seasons ago, and he looked good. I saw him and Meriton Shabani actually in the Premier League International Cup like back in May, I think. So he was playing for the second team against Dinamo Zagreb second team. And so him and Ruyong Jong and Shabani were by far and away the best players on the pitch. But that does not necessarily mean that they're good enough to be in the senior team. I think they will be. I think Lucas Meyer certainly will be compared to the other two. However, I do think that he is still far too young to be kind of expected to, like, Nicolas Süle is one of the best defenders around, certainly one of the best in the Bundesliga. So I don't think that we can anticipate that Lucas Meyer would just fit in that effortlessly. He's still very young. He's got great passing range, so you've got that, you have that to work with. So it's not quite as good as, you know, prime Boateng, but it's still fairly decent. it would be a shame if we don't see him. But I could potentially see him coming in like later on in the season, not now. I think while the defense is looking shaky at best, I think this would do absolutely no favors to him at all.
I don't totally disagree with you there, but I think there's another angle that you can approach this from, especially if you're Niko Kovac, and that is our defense has been extremely shaky. We just lost our best center back. People probably don't want to see too much of Jerome Boateng, who has been not so great recently. We play Olympiacos on Tuesday, Union Berlin on Saturday. Why not just give Lars Lucas Mai his chance? And, you know, if we go in and we keep a clean sheet, that's at the very least a huge confidence boost to him. Let's say if he goes in and things go terribly, lets in a lot of goals, makes mistakes. He's just one of our defenders. That's what we do at Bayern. So, you know, don't feel so bad. That's you're not the only one. So I absolutely do not expect to see that. But given that, you know, Tuesday is Olympiacos in Athens, so it is a bit tougher of a match. But Saturday is Union Berlin, who are far from an intimidating opponent. Maybe Lars Lucas Mai starting, maybe not starting, getting a good amount of minutes, though, you know, wouldn't be the worst decision. If nothing else, I would like that it shows that Niko Kovac is willing to take some risks. So looking ahead to the upcoming games, I guess the last thing I'd want to see is still his lack of rotation, you know, not changing things up. But Garrett, are you optimistic that, you know, we will see some changes? Or are you thinking come Tuesday, we're going to see almost the exact same lineup that we saw yesterday?
I don't know that we'll see a ton of changes. I mean, obviously, Sula won't be in the starting lineup. And I would guess that outside of that, I would guess max two changes. I wouldn't be surprised to see Perisic or Müller starting in place of Coman. I think that it'd be a good idea, and I hope that Kovac is kind of thinking the same way, is that it'd be good to get Leon Goretzka more time as he's coming back from that injury. Maybe he won't start, but he'll play hopefully a pretty significant role to get back into game shape. And then, I don't know that we'll see a whole lot of changes because, like you said in the press conference, they did. I mean, they played well. They didn't finish, and they let in a goal in the first and last minutes of the game, and that was really what colored the whole thing. So I wouldn't be so surprised if we see the exact same lineup, but I would guess that there'll be somebody playing in place of Kingsley Coman at the very least. I'd prefer to see Goretzka, but again, he is coming back from injury. So I'm guessing he's not going to start, but I kind of agree with you. I think it'd be good to, why not put Lars Lucas Mai in there? I think you'd find out really quick if he was ready or not. And, or at the very least you find out, okay, he's ready to be a fourth center back, or he's ready to, it'd be interesting to know kind of what the history is behind, like, where young players, what positions young players succeed quickly at, if that sentence made any sense. Like, does it make sense? Do young center backs typically perform really well in their right away? Or is a position like the wing the best spot for a young player to get plugged into a lineup and play really well, or striker or whatever? And I would guess that you're probably not seeing too many really young players play really well right away at center back. But these next two matches do kind of provide an opportunity that you just sign him to a contract, let him see how he stacks up against some of, you know, quote unquote lower competition, and go from there. But yeah, I don't expect to see too many changes. I'm going to guess just Coman is the one switched out.
Hmm. One final question before we start to wrap things up. Sebastian, obviously Niko Kovac is under a lot of fire from some Bayern fans, but how close do you think he is to actually being in trouble with the club? How close do you think he might be to, okay, we need to start to talk about your position here, you know, what you're doing, you know, the, just a couple more losses away, some more boring, or not necessarily boring, but just disappointing performances? Or do you think he still has a bit of cushion underneath him?
Well, I feel like it is kind of concerning that we are already debating this so much, despite things looking quite all right still. I mean, we're just 1 point off in the Bundesliga. We are in quite good shape in the Champions League. So I think this is kind of blown out of proportion a bit. I think it is... I would not have expected this talk to be, so common already again after the Tottenham game. You would think that convinced a couple of people who might have been on the fence with Kovac. So I think he should be safe, relatively speaking, but it is again tough to judge how safe he really is, because the board at Bayern, it might not be as the same as it used to be. Hoeneß, for example, might not be as involved as he used to be. It might not be Hoeneß's call ultimately. So that might, I guess, make them potentially pull the trigger a bit sooner. I guess that's what I would imagine. So I think it's really tough to judge. But I guess if we lose several more positions or get behind, I think, more than 3 points in the Bundesliga, that can already spell trouble. I guess that's basically how I see it.
Was it around this time last year that Bayern started kind of struggling? Because it seems like Augsburg was definitely a poor match last year, the first time around. And so it is a little bit concerning to me that Bayern have kind of hit another snag around roughly the same time. So if they struggle, maybe not even against Olympiacos, but if they struggle to or drop any points against Union Berlin, then maybe there's a lot more pressure put on him. I think that there is. Like you said, Sebastian, it's like you would have thought that the Tottenham game would have really swayed some people, but I think that there's also a lot less patience, because having gone through everything last season and now come back, and to some people they're seeing the same problems, or they're just not seeing the results that they want. So I think that patience is shorter right now with him, and I don't know. I am a little concerned for him. That doesn't mean that I think that should be the case, but I do think that he's got a lot of pressure on him, both from within and from outside the club.
I think one thing that does speak in his favor is the same thing that spoke in his favor last year, and it's that there's hardly any replacement available. You know, who do we go for if we fire him? But to clarify, I don't necessarily think Kovac is in too much trouble right now, nor do I think he should be. Some people have just been anti-Kovac ever since the beginning, and so they're just waiting on their opportunity to pounce on him. And so when Bayern don't finish their chances and the defense collapses in the first and in the very last minute of the game, they're going to pounce on that and immediately blame that on Niko Kovac. And the way he handles himself in press conferences also just kind of lends itself, even though most of the time I really respect and like the way that he addresses the media, he can be a bit arrogant with the way he talks, and people really don't like that. You know, like Tim brought up earlier, him suggesting that it wasn't a terrible performance from Bayern, not saying that he isn't or that he is satisfied, but saying, you know, we played decently well, we created 24 chances. People don't like that, so. I think he could get himself in trouble really quickly, even if it's not his fault that the team is doing relatively poorly. But I think for now, he's probably still okay. But he does need to kind of watch out and do his best to turn things around. Well, that's going to wrap up this episode. If you're a fan of the podcast or if you've enjoyed listening, do us a big favor, please, and leave us a 5-star review. We'd really, really appreciate it. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at SuperByronPod to keep up to date with us. You can get in touch with us there, or you can email us at superbyronpod@gmail.com. All of our episodes can be found on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, all the major podcast catchers. Thank you for listening. Go out and tell all your friends, and we'll talk to you next time.